Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Very, very welcome, my brothers and sisters. We get to share an hour together and, who knows, maybe an hour beyond that. So we are very happy if some of you have joined us for this pre-record, and in fact some of you have sent in questions for the pre-record that we will definitely be looking at. So let's start with one of those questions. And it's one from Nancy from Arizona, and she says that she's been reading my Twitter page. And by the way, folks, if you go to www.almeendiary.com, it will lead you right there. And it not only gives the Twitter on the side, but also tells you how to get there and also to the forum where every day we do quite a bit of question answering for you. We answer one question a day, but we are very thorough in giving you the information about it. So it will also tell you how to get there. So just go to the diary, and from there you'll be led where else. So Nancy says that on Twitter you mentioned the Rosicrucian mysteries. What can you tell us about this, if anything, yet? Well, Nancy, I've been trying to avoid it because I'm trying to finish off the previous book of the angels, and the previous book of the angels dealt with the old alchemists' formulas that were received by John Dee and Kelly in the Middle Ages. They're actually a little later than the Middle Ages, but in 1500s, perhaps. You can find it on Wikipedia under Enochian Magic, E-N-O-C-H-I-A-N. But the bottom line of it is that that book, which has the way to create potions and essences and alchemical holy waters and oils and so on, I'm just trying to finish that up, actually, possibly tomorrow. However, we already have pages and pages of exquisite Rosicrucian information coming in from the Chinese library. And it's coming through the beautiful oracle, Karen Fogarelli, and she teaches little children, so she's possibly not listening at the moment, but also our beloved sister Aoife, and Jan can tell Karen to listen to the show, but Karen has been receiving, as has Aoife, same writing, two different oracles, two different countries, in fact. It's been pouring in. It's been trying to pour in for me as well, and I've written some pages on it, but I've tried very much to keep it, as we would say, at a dull roar because of the fact that it's overwhelming when I'm just trying to finish up the previous book. So what we have is the following. We have got three sets of cat people. And if you look on our diary, you will find writings about that yesterday and the day before, I believe, and the day before. The three different cat groups that we're working with. The Jongala Brook cat people, I had encountered in the libraries in Egypt about the time I translated the book Opening the Doors of Heaven from the Isis libraries. And that particular group, they're about, I'd say maybe about 5'7", 5'8", and relatively stocky in build. They're a little bit muscular. They have curly hair on the front part of their arms. The eyes look very slanted. The face is broader. The nose is flatter. And the mouth goes up in the center the way you'd think of a split lip would do for, say, a kitten or a cat or a lion, for that matter. This is the Jongala Brook, and they're, as all three of these cat races, they are masters at frequency. We then encountered another race in Egypt and another one in China, and their names and what they are and so on, you can find on my diary. But the point is, the Rosicrucian mysteries, it's a very high form of alchemy, except none of these old ways work any longer because of the changes that have taken place. So old alchemy doesn't work any longer. Many of the old angel magic portions that they gave to Dee and Kelly, well, they absolutely don't work anymore. None of them do, because they functioned on the basis of illusion that was still existing at that time as to what exactly ran the cosmos. And at that point, it was the matrix. This has been removed. It was the grids. This has been removed. Multiple different templates and programs ran created life. This is part of the dream. They have been removed. So what the very basis and power source were was for these old methods no longer exists. I don't know what to find for the Rosicrucians, but I do know that they worked with the cat people's magic. And they worked with a corrupted goddess of cat magic named Bast, B-A-S-T. That being no longer exists. The upgraded methods of alchemy that the Rosicrucians were working with, but the upgrading of that is what is coming through. And to tell you the truth, I will ask Rogier if he will take a photograph of what's coming through. It's really quite interesting, as just a little preview, and put it on our Twitter page right when I get off the phone. But remember, I'm recording 2 hours today. So about 2 hours from now, you'll find it on our Twitter page. I'll have him take a photo of it if he'd be willing to do that. So currently, that is all that I know. Other than that, there are 24 tablets, and I've asked the Oracle Alana if she can go back and forth. I've seen them. The Oracle Isa has seen them. She's drawn, with her engineering skills, a map of the whole compound of this Chinese, let's call it a, you know, it's more than a pyramid, because the tablets are around the pyramid, and on each corner there's another room, and I know that the minute I start to translate, other parts of it are going to open and reveal itself that currently we don't even know about. So, you know, what exactly it does, I don't know. But the tablets, I know because I received the first tablet, and the tablets are actually giving mysteries. The mysteries of the earth, things we don't know about the earth. So earth mysteries are being given in 24 formats. I've written down the first one, and I believe I've sent it in to be placed on today's, maybe yesterday's, diary. So you can take a little peek at that, my darling, and thank you, Nancy, for that. Love you much, my sister. And I am going to be receiving this information in Sedona, and for our pre-record, that is next week, and my class will help bring it in. So just so that you know that. Now, let's take another look. We had been discussing on the forum what the difference was between energy, light, frequency, as since the laws of creation had changed with like energy attracting like, what is the difference between light, frequency, and energy? Now, this also actually comes from Nancy, so let's take a little look at that. What I'm going to do, Nancy, this enormous descension that we've had isn't an accident. It is, in fact, well, let's just use my old analogy. I know you must be getting tired of it, but I can't think of a better one this morning. So let's just do that. It's the threads of the tapestry that we've examined. We always knew that those threads would one day snap back and become the full picture of the tapestry. So let's look at the threads for the moment, and then I'll give you some changes that have happened. The difference between light and frequency and energy. Deep in the dream, it started out as follows. Its physical subatomic particles at the quantum physics level is the densest, meaning it has the lowest frequency. Doesn't make it less conscious, it's just the level at which life is, but it has the lowest frequency. There was a level above that, and that level had to do with accessed perception. It had to do with accessed information. The level above that, we were talking at the time of an octave of frequency apart, had a subatomic particle that consisted of little light and frequency components. Let's call it light and love. But sound light. If you went up another octave, you came to awareness. If you went up another octave, you came to a particle that's called life force particles. Now, there's only one octave above that, and that is what we call the presence particles. Those were the particles that held in place the templates of existence that we discussed in your previous question, Nancy. So those templates were held in place, and I've equated it to metal shavings put on a little round cardboard circle that's placed on top of a glass. And if you use a specific tuning fork and go ping against the side of the glass, it's going to make a specific pattern. That's the pattern of that frequency. If you go up a note and take a higher pitched tuning fork, tap it against the glass, it will yet go into another pattern. The pattern will be more intricate and more refined. In the cosmos, those little particles that make the templates of existence, now this has changed, but we're going to walk it through from the beginning, are called presence particles. Within them is held an enormous amount of power. Now, I'm going to give you the sequence of how light and frequency and energy relate to power in a way that I haven't actually explained anywhere before. But let's just quickly take our first commercial break, and then Nancy, when we get back, we'll do that one, okay?
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back. So at the very highest octave, we had the presence particles, and they kept the pattern of existence in place. And as the pattern started to change, it seldom moved, but when it moved to a higher level, what basically had happened is that the cosmos had transfigured itself. And it went to a higher frequency. It contained more light. Now, I'll explain how those tie together here in a minute. It contained more light. And as a consequence, the particles at the very upper level could not stay in their own pattern. Now, if a pattern moves from the low tuning fork to the higher pitch tuning fork, more refined, more delicate, more enlightened, shall we say, pattern, it releases power. Itself, it doesn't move other than to transfigure. But what it does is it sets all the cosmic life force particles in motion, ricocheting back and forth and back and forth from this enormous change in marching orders. The drummer has changed its beat. The cosmos consequently has changed. Life force changes, and it moves back and forth. This releases energy. And how does this tie in with the lower little building block of light and frequency? Light and frequency in that building block has always been irrevocably connected. It was damaged at some point, but I mean in its natural state. They are one particle. So the light and frequency, if the frequency goes up because of great gratitude that floods the cosmos, let me give you an example of that. Two examples, actually. For eons and eons of existence, dragon females had their ability to be sexually stimulated in any way, to have any sexual feelings bred out of them. It was taken away. They were used by the males at their convenience, and that was the end of it. But there was nothing in it for them. If you read in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms about my my journeys amongst these realms and things that I found out, you will see that dragons, and I think it is in that book, if not, it's in the Ring of Truth, but dragon females were given the ability to feel sexuality as much as the males. They were given the ability to leave abusive marriages. They were given the ability to choose their mates. Previously, if someone asked them to marry them, they had to take that suitor. That was dragon law in the old regime. And Mother changed this, that it could not be that way. When the dragon females received the ability to have sexuality, in an instant, the cosmos rose from the frequency change. Let's look at another frequency change. The frequency change that happened, we have had just millions, actually it's more like billions, of lords of light in the cosmos, a very little known kingdom that does a huge amount of the work. They are very powerful. They're just one step below what we would call the God kingdom. And so, you know, they were actually only male. They were an electrical representation of the cosmos, male only. They did very cerebral tasks. They had very powerful magic. Well, they were given wives to bring balance to the masculine imbalance in the cosmos. The masculine imbalance in the cosmos created a situation way back. I mean, things have changed so dramatically about what we know of as the field spinning around the body or the Merkaba. Very dramatically, it's completely obsolete what people think is still happening. But for eons, the masculine Merkaba was spinning at a rate of I'm trying to remember the Fibonacci sequence now. Forgive me, I've been so much in the alchemical sequences recently, but 13 and 7 makes 20, 20 and 3, so 33 to 20. Is it 20? Anyway, I forget the sequence, but it had a much higher ratio of spin because the masculine was imbalanced. Mother created wives for these lords. The joy that went up through the cosmos catapulted us up. I didn't even know that this would be the case, and I was sitting somewhere, and suddenly, I mean, I felt myself just expand in the starburst of life. The cosmos had changed. Higher frequency, praise, love, gratitude, can change the cosmos by changing the light it is affiliated with. In other words, frequency changes light, and light changes frequency. If huge insights are gained throughout the cosmos, then the frequency changes because the light has gone up. When light and frequency goes up, frequency starts to vibrate at such a rate that it affects the frequency all the way through all the octaves. And because the frequency is communicating to its higher notes. And for example, if you play a note on the piano, it's same note, one octave above. If you look at the string, particularly if you're looking at a grand piano, you will see that even though you played middle C, high C string is also vibrating. And this is what happens until there's enough of a vibration that it bumps the frequency portion of the presence particles at the high octave out of its pattern. It helps to transfigure the pattern. Form has always been dictated by frequency, my brothers and sisters. And it is the frequency, whether it originated in love, praise, and gratitude, or it's a result of heightened light, the frequency changes the form of the pattern, the template, the level of life at which the cosmos is being lived. Now, think of these building blocks as little chunks, little particles. First of all, they were very linear. They were little waveforms. Then they became little spheres. When they were like that, I used to say, these are the vegetables. The vegetables are actually in a broth or a stock, a vegetable broth. They are not the original, they come from the original, and the original was a field that lay behind these building blocks. The field is the broth. The vegetables in the soup, that's in the broth, those are the building blocks. So what happened is that life changed. The building blocks were found to maintain old memories, old associations. They kept bringing back perpetrators as a result. So the infinite actually did away with building blocks, found them to be holding a dictatorship, if you will. So she did away with the vegetables in the soup. Then only the broth was left. The other had been strained out. Only the broth was left. The broth looked different. The broth had in it light, frequency, energy, as its own element, and power as its own element. Life force, awareness. There was no perception, but there was also matter. This is what was in that field. Again, they were separated by octaves. The infinite then collapsed the octave into the one note. The note that she collapsed it in was the lowest note, matter. Matter changed. It became what is called holy, incorruptible matter. Everything was made from matter. That is when, you know, I've told the story on some of the other shows, but that's when we had all those angels in Curacao. Oh, my goodness, they were thick around the house where I held my pod. And they were sitting on a branch, very thick, healthy, new branch of a tree. And when Mother did this, bing, they started to gain weight and broke the branch. And, you know, what in the world is going on? And Mother said, they've gained weight. They are now more material. everything became more material. Their frequencies were still different enough, and a pocket of frequency makes it that you can't actually see what's in that pocket. It's used in stealth technology. So that was step two. Just the broth remained. Energy became something by itself. And I would imagine that energy came from the vibration of the frequency now, more refined energy, no longer generated as movement by the huge, big shifts, but also by the delicate vibration of frequency. So my brothers and sisters, this is what we had next. It was called purified, holy, incorruptible matter. Very refined. Even the light we saw, the air we breathed, everything was made from it, just in different levels of density. But then there were two things added to it. And one of these things that was added to it was an inner morality, inner self-guidance. The next thing that was added is infinite intent. For many, many thousands of years, Toltec seers have tried to figure out what intent is, because they knew it was a major moving force in the cosmos. It's nothing more than electricity and magnetism. It is electromagnetic. And the magnetics hold the memory of what is intended by the infinite, and the electrical part interprets it, much the same as a tape recorder would. So that was the next step. But then we went to something far beyond that. It was not understood until I translated the 23rd tablet of the cat people that was in the big complex called the Wheel of Life under the sands of Egypt, and you can look at that in our diaries, quite recent, that it was understood that by its nature, creation made separation. Because of the way creation is done, separation, which is duality, persisted. As long as it persisted, we had beings representing it, which is beings of illusion. How that was solved, we will deal with right after this break.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, my brothers and sisters, we continue with this. And so what was done is that it was understood that if you can think of the infinite being as vastness, going forever and ever, not directional, but there is no end to the vastness, because it's all that is. Anything that creates a layer that holds its pattern, if you will, makes something that is separate. In other words, let's say you're in the ocean, and there's a layer being made of a portion of the ocean. By removing some of the water, you know, which is artificial, or by simply cordoning off some water. You'd have to put it in a bucket or something to make it separate from the rest. That makes separation, because there's one place that's in the bucket and another place that's not. Now you've created a direction, and you've created a consciousness that is in duality. My brothers and sisters, there was no way that as the way we were previously made, that we could just have our boundaries removed. The best that the infinite did at that time was to make a fluid boundary that could expand and contract and be fluid for the cosmos, for cosmic individuated life. But still, there was something inside the boundary and something outside. And as long as you have an inside and an outside, you've got a direction. And all directionality had to be done away with, because it disrupted innocence and it caused corruption throughout all life. So then, something else became the way that life was made. And in the last days, all of life, in the twinkling of an eye, became made of the infinite's attitude. Attitude is that which has both light and frequency, the infinite's attitude. So what that means is there's no boundary. All of a sudden, yesterday, for those of you that are following my tweet, I noticed that people were like nursing any little pain that they had, whether it's emotional, maybe it's a big pain, but emotional or physical, but it was like their trusted companion. They were holding on to it for dear life. They refused to be put in a position where they could be comforted or healed or made better. No, they were holding on to it for dear life. So, you know, by last night, what is going on? And I spoke to the infinite, and I sent through for the blog a copy of my conversation. It should be posted already, actually. Janice, our wonderful angel that does this for us, and she's so prompt in it. So it possibly is already on there. But this conversation with the infinite went something to the lines of the fact that if this is the first time that we as cosmos have had no boundaries, we are made of the infinite's attitude. You can't cordon off an attitude. One section is this and other section. So we were throughout a boundless being as attitude. The expansion and the fear of our vastness made us focus on any discomfort in the body, fanning it into something that was big enough to hold us there. In other words, we created an anchoring point. And I said to the mother, what is the key to this? And she said, let go. Let go. Do not even for a moment be afraid. I've got you. Let go. We were told many, many years ago that, you know, by one of the alien brothers that came to my classes when I was training apprentices, actually, he came to our class and said that we are a thought of the infinite. Well, that may be, but we were more of a dream of the infinite. We have become an attitude of the infinite. And so, as that, you know, there we change fluidly, moment by moment, as the attitude of the infinite changes. There's no limit. We just have to let go to the vastness. You know, then somebody said, well, you know, more complaints. So what is now the problem? They think that they don't want to sit in bliss all day, because there's bliss when they expand like that. How can they get their work done? My brothers and sisters, it is utter foolishness, with all due respect, because I am guilty of foolishness often, because I can't see clearly. But how can we know what's there? bliss may be one component out of a billion. There might be magic and miracles and incredible, incredible things happening if we can just let go and actually expand and become one with the infinite. The way birds in flight fly together as a formation, each one a part of that formation. Bliss is maybe a side effect, and bliss may be coupled with the ability to see all perspectives at once, which certainly has been put into existence as the intent of the infinite, that that be so. We can't say, oh no, I don't want to expand, I might get blissful, then I can't get things done. Sorry, but that we have no clue, and it is not the, you know, it's not the place for us to be thinking we know when no life has ever stepped over the edge of that cliff and taken wings to the effect that is being offered to us. Let's be courageous. Let's take time just to be and experience what this great gift is like. So I am, let me just see how we're doing here for time. I think we still have time. So let's go to our next question. It's our sister Lale from Paris, and she's our Parisian facilitator. So if you've always wanted to see Paris folks, I think we're going to reduce that workshop down to a weekend. We're in negotiations about it. But if you go to Paris, it will be early September of this year that I'll be there for a full 3 days of class. And it's going to be a highly specialized class. We're going to be looking at things that we don't normally get to look at. So Lale says, that's a silly statement, Almin. Every time I look at something in class, it's something I've never looked at. I don't know how to put this in words, so I'll just skip right by. I've been quite puzzled by the prophecy received by the Oracle Shelley that was in the blog entry of February 24th. It stated the mother was dead, tattered from her mission. I was looking forward for more explanation or further development on that subject, but nothing has been mentioned about it. Can you ask Mother about this whole event and give us more information? Lale, there's a secret about Mother, the infinite, that if you ask for a revelation or a dream, and really persevere with it, you will receive it. I would say currently, only of my regular students that come to my classes, only maybe 5% of them have actually received their vision. So there is, in fact, a secret behind the secret. Let me tell you the first secret. Then what you do is you ask to see the secret about Mother. And then you will receive it in vision. So, Mother was dead, tattered from her mission. Death is no more. We have absolutely said this, and by the way, my precious, I am very proud of you that you caught that one, because I just left it. I didn't ask Mother for further explanation. It was in great upheaval, the times, because the cosmos itself was dying, if you will. The mother had created for herself a physical body in order to have the cosmos be within that physical body. Holy, incorruptible matter. Remember I said how all life came to be holy, incorruptible matter? Made up of all those things that were in those fields, plus additional components, and then collapsed down into the lowest note of frequency. We have had a situation where the physical has taken such a beating. The physical particles, the subquantum particles, was designed to create experiential wisdom. Then, when I was in Toronto about a month or so ago, we were told by the infinite to get rid of all wisdom. It's the story of the dream. It's the highest vision someone had in the dream that helped us out of the dream, but at the same time, You know, it's gone. We need new insights for today's boundaries, or let's call them the perceived boundaries, because we understand now there are no boundaries. But my sister, the body of the mother did in fact die. With it died material, holy, incorruptible matter. It is then that everything went to a higher level and we became part of the infinite's attitude. So the body, what die means in this instance, is not the usual way of death, but it is simply that the mother dissolved her physical. Her physical was what had entered the dream state. It was exhausted. She had created her creations, and she had magnificently, over eons of existence and cycles of life, brought them out of the dream. Her physical was weary. And so she dissolved the physical, and with it all life dissolved, because it was part of her physical. Remember, every kingdom became part of this holy, incorruptible matter. But the mother, at that point, of course, as an eternal being, recreated all of life at this high level. It took multiple days before that happened. You know, if you read the tweets from the people in my house, like Paul Downs, I know, wrote about it, and he said how eerie it felt. It was like we were in a state of bardo. It was like this no man's land, halfway between death and life. And because it took creation days to be remade. Because once she was free from her body, it was, oh my gosh, Lale, it was like a supernova. Burst of light. It is still going on. Every day, thousands and thousands of bursts of light are happening. And it's more than light, because light is only one component, as we see from our earlier discussion. It's the glory of the infinite. Starburst after starburst. It's gone on now for 2 weeks. The cosmos was reformed. The exact day you'll find on my blog, I think it's about a week ago, after days of not being formed. Because the infinite wanted to get to a specific level before the attitude formed itself into created life. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with their other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to my brothers and sisters. We are now in our final quarter of our show, and what I would like to do is actually just tackle a question that has come in from, let me see, where is it? From our brother, Paul Downs. We have another one from Lale, but we may have to do that on another show, and we will try to do Paul Downs' next. He says, now that our higher selves have merged into one great field, there are times I feel abandoned by those higher aspects of myself. It's like the mothership has left its scout ship alone on Earth. Where does our guidance come from? I want to go through this bit by bit. It is true that we no longer have higher selves, that we have merged all ourselves. And now the goal, as we have mentioned earlier in the show, is to actually merge with the mother. And the infinite is a better word, because it's certainly an androgynous being, but to merge with the infinite, to become part of a vastness that we have never seen before. So as we merge with the vastness, my brothers and sisters, there isn't specific marching orders being given. And he says here, at times I feel abandoned by those higher aspects of myself. Now, let's look at a little secret about our higher aspects. See, my brothers and sisters, we have, the reason I want to put this particular question in this last portion of our show is that there is a common miscomprehension that when something has a higher frequency, that it has a higher consciousness. The frequency of a being that is vibrating outside of our perceptional field, that's generally one that we practice, because we don't want to limit ourselves. Who knows what life is like when we let go into this expansion? My brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that that being has more consciousness. It could be that that being is more expanded. It generally has been so that that which is higher sees things from a more from the totality of it. It doesn't mean that seeing things from the totality is necessarily better. I think on the blog you will find a piece that I wrote about the benefits of surface mind, the benefits of egoic mind. Take a look at it, because we have gone through stages in which, first of all, you know, we're in obsessiveness about being in ego identification. Most of the world has been that way, where they only identify with the body and the feelings and so on. Then, you know, enlightenment comes, and we are thinking of ourselves only as the vastness. And that, too, has lack of energy and eventually will bring atrophy and stasis, you know. And so what is the answer? The answer is that we think with all minds at once. High beings have traditionally been in that very great expansion, humans have been in a very great contraction, and so we've had to balance each other. The same thing applies to your bodies, your higher selves. Your higher selves might not necessarily be that helpful when you are trying to deal with physical things. Let me give you an example of that. You know, I remember one time that, oh my goodness, in those days, it was 2005 to be exact, I had a house full of beings. This is before I put my foot down. And every morning they wanted to be part of the day and what can they do to help solve? And, you know, finally I said, enough, this is my house, please live outside. And so we had a situation where I really needed to increase my income. So much of my work was being done for free, and, you know, and I had to publish so many books that year, and then the question became, you know, how do you match your income with that? And so, oh my goodness, they were all very helpful, very expanded beings. The angels recommended that I drive my car back and forth like a taxi and sing to people. They'd like my singing. The angels like my singing, so why wouldn't the people? I can charge a lot of money if I drive people around and sing. I mean, this is the kind of, with all respect, ludicrous, completely impractical advice that I was getting from beings that are fully expanded. Your higher self is that way. Oftentimes, guidance comes from what you already know in the physical, but you just have to be quiet enough to hear it. Higher self, that's not the way to connect with the infinite. The infinite is through the physical heart. It is immediately here. Now, every cell in our body, if that's what we can call it, as we have become an attitude of the infinite, every cell of our body is connected with infinite through its very existence made from the infinite's attitude. All we have to be still and listen. Now that sounds real simple. What does it mean to be still? To be still means that we are not listening to some deafening dictators. The dictatorship of social conditioning. If the dictatorship of social conditioning says, stay in your work, stay in this job, because just a year or two or three or four more, you know, you'll be able to get pension from this job if you stay here. Well, meantime, you're very, very miserable and starting to affect your health because your health is screaming for the highest road to be followed. It's just the language of your knowingness saying, look, could you please live a path with heart? My brothers and sisters, the bottom line of it is that those conditioned responses to life block the messages from spirit. You do not need a higher self to give you messages of how to live your life. All knowledge of physicality, if you will, physical life, is available to you. The reason it's available to you is it's available to the infinite, and you've become part of the attitude of the infinite, no longer a separate bit, but a consciousness as vast as the infinite. All that you need to know is there right now. But we are used to going into meditation, giving the mind permission to be quiet because we are now going to talk to our higher self. No, it was really not higher self giving you your marching orders. It was that you finally could hear the desires of your heart. And when you follow the desires of your heart, my brothers and sisters, and their peer, you are always living your highest truth. What does "and their peer" mean? If you have identity, if you have personal labels, oh, I'm so good at math, oh, I'm so poor at cooking, oh, I'm so pretty, or I'm so not pretty, or I'm, you know, not successful in life, whatever it is that you have called yourself and have bought into, whether you gave it to yourself or it was given to you by others telling you that, it stands in the way of the pure feelings of the heart, because your heart's emotions become polluted by compensatory behavior. You compensate for perceived self-importance or perceived self-pity. The second dictator. The third dictator is the world view. Seeing that the world is a static pattern in a certain way cannot be further from the truth than it is today, because we have become part of the fluid attitude of the infinite. A master has no worldview whatsoever. So my brothers and sisters, that is the way to hear. You've never been abandoned, because all that you need to know for every moment exists within you. We weren't imperfectly made. In the dream, we're given some weaknesses so that certain things could be solved. They're solved. You do not have those weaknesses. You are part of the infinite's attitude. How could you? So my brothers and sisters, thank you for your questions, and I will speak to you again soon. Thank you.
The Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.